Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. An angel walks around the corridors of America, transforming lives at every stop. That's the premise of Highway to Heaven, Michael Landon's popular 1980s series, coming back as Lifetime made-for-TV movies tomorrow night. Executive producer and writer Catherine Humphreys and writer Angelica Cherry join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Three nights later, Supergirl completes its 6-season run on the CW. Aziz Ansari, playing Jimmy Olsen's sister, Carrie, comes our way next half hour. Also ahead, a Dreamgirls talk show bid, Peacock's Thanksgiving plans, and our classic trivia question. Oh, yes, and something special tomorrow night is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, Reason, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon, wrapping up your week with a program about TV's current and future. 51 degrees at the top of the hour here in the New York metro area. Got some wonderful guests for you over the next hour, and we invite you to be in the thick of the conversation. So simple, pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got our chat room open for business with you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others with Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker to the screen. Follow the instructions. Let's be live with you. Our pair from Lifetime Highway to Heaven movies, which premiere tomorrow night, they'll join us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. She won the Oscar for Dreamgirls and may be nominated for another, playing Aretha Franklin in Respect. What's next for Jennifer Hudson? Try a drive to be daytime television's next talk variety maestro. Hudson has taped the pilot for a syndicated daytime hour with Warner Brothers. In WB's thinking, Hudson has the chops to succeed Ellen DeGeneres this fall when DeGeneres' top-rated and Emmy-winning weekday series wraps after 17 years. Several Ellen producers worked on Hudson's pilot, which if it turns into a series, would go for mid-afternoon time periods on local stations. For the first time ever, all of NBC's special Thanksgiving Day programs will be simulcast live on the NBC Universal May content service, Peacock. That includes Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is also running live on Telemundo in Spanish, the National Dog Show with John O'Hurley back as host, and an NFL Thursday night game. Now, before we get to our first guest, here's some quickies. IMDb.tv will contribute three original films to the 2021 holiday film Blizzard, A Lot Like Christmas, When Hope Calls Christmas, and Angel Falls Christmas. Former Sex and City co-star Kim Cattrall will narrate Hulu's How I Met Your Father sitcom. The Righteous Gemstones will make a Season 2 return to HBO January 9th. Another Season 2 development, Netflix docuseries The Mind Explained, begins its 5-part sophomore run November 19th. And former Insecure executive producer Prentice Penny will co-star a comic book enterprise whose title could be that of this TV series. Two comics already under TV development, Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer, and Jason Wise, I kid you not. And neither is Prentice Perry. And that's news notes for today. One of the most beloved personalities in the history of TV, at least at or top of that beloved scale, is Michael Landon. Of course, he broke the TV in a big way as Little Joe, co-starring with Lauren Green and Dan Blocker and Pernell Roberts on Bonanza, which ran 14 years on NBC. And before it was all over, Landon was one of the show's popular directors and writers, as well as co-stars. When that was done, Landon became an executive producer on his projects, Little House on the Prairie, Father Murphy, and his last one was the 1980s hit Highway to Heaven, where he and Victor French roamed the countryside to transform people's lives, with Landon playing an angel sent to Earth to try to make the best of people and bring out the best in people, too. And now, this 1980s classic has become a series of Lifetime made-for-TV movies, which begins its run tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, with the popular singer and actress Jill Scott. You may have seen her in the recent Nationwide Insurance commercials in the Michael Landon role. We're joining us live from Los Angeles, California, are two of the key people involved in bringing this revival to life. First up, the executive producer and co-writer of this first made-for-TV movie in the series, Catherine Humphreys. Catherine, welcome in.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having us.
And joining you and me is also one of the writers of this series of movies, and she is a first-timer in the world of television, Angelica Cherie. Angelica, happy to have you with us.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Catherine, we'll start with you. Almost all of the revivals of TV series classics we've seen so far, whether One Day at a Time or Heather Class, which just started yesterday on HBO Max, are weekly series revivals. This is different. This is a made-for-TV movie series. Why did you decide, or why did Lifetime decide to go this route as opposed to a weekly series like everybody else? What is the advantage or disadvantage of doing it that way?
Well, that's a really good question. I honestly don't know what Lifetime's thinking was, other than, you know, their brand has sort of become movies. You know, they dipped a toe into scripted for a while, but they have just had so much success with movies. And so when I was approached, certainly it was sort of like, this is the plan, this is what we're doing. And, you know, it was super exciting to me because you get to go so much deeper in a two-hour movie than you can in one episode, and especially for introducing, you know, today's audiences to this world and these characters and stuff. So it was really fun. You know, I most of my career I've done 1 hours. I've started to transition now more into doing TV movies, and it's just a really fun way to do this. And you're right, it's a little bit different than a lot of people are doing, but I think it just gives us more time with these characters and more time to go a little deeper into these stories.
Angelica, you're coming into this from the world of theater and playwriting. Why did you decide to make this made-for-TV movie series your debut in the medium?
Well, you know, I think in a wonderful twist of fate, we think about the boss that is the overarching presence in these Highway to Heaven movies. I think the serendipity of it, my name is Angelica, and for it to be about angels, I think it just kind of called me in. But, you know, honestly, I always thought of myself as a multi-dimensional storyteller. I never felt like I was limited to the stage. I love just storytelling in general, and I feel like every medium is a specific vehicle for a certain type of story. And so just the type of stories that you can tell on television are very different than what you can tell on the screen. And so it's really exciting to just be able to dip my toes into this medium, and then also to be able to touch far more people than could ever meet in one room at the same time. So I'm really excited for this.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, once you and Angelica got involved, what was the most important thing in putting this, at least this first made-for-TV movie with Highway together, was important in terms of capturing not only the essence of the original series, but making it relevant and contemporary for today?
Yeah, I mean, I think those two things were definitely our driving force. You know, I grew up watching the original Highway to Heaven. I think I watched every episode. I was a huge Michael Landon fan. And, you know, when we started working together, I think it was about a year ago, and, you know, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of a really tense election, in the middle of just so much nastiness in the world. And so I think, you know, it was really important to both of us that this be something that was uplifting. You know, we wanted to be realistic. We wanted to deal with some stuff, some tough topics. You know, the storyline came, you know, was inspired by things out of both of our lives that we've had to grapple with. But it was also just really important that we, you know, have hope and hold a space for someone to watch a story and go through some really tough things and come out the other side and realize that, you know, we don't get to choose the things that happen to us, but we can choose how we respond, and we can choose, you know, if we can make some lightness out of that darkness. And, you know, that was such an important part of the original. And then, yeah, just making it more accessible to people today. I mean, the landscape on television is changing. It's a long overdue change. We want to see people of all colors on screen. We want to see different kinds of families. We want to see, you know, just representation for everyone, and a movie where everyone can come together and feel good about these characters and feel good about the outcome. And, you know, I think hopefully you have some good cries along the way.
Angelica, what experiences in your life came through on the screen, in the script?
Well, just to be completely honest, one of the main storylines is this young boy, Cody, who has lost his mother. And that is my life experience. I lost my mother to breast cancer when I was 11 months old. And so she has been like an angel for me my whole life. And that is something that I personally was able to connect to, this desire to want to hear from her and to be wanting to be able to connect with her, to communicate, to talk, to know what she would think about a certain situation, especially when facing trouble, when facing life decisions, just having insight from mom. Those are some of the things that were most personal that I connected to and brought to the script.
The first of Lifetime's Highway to Heaven movies will premiere tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on Lifetime on cable and satellite, where you are. And we have two of the key people involved in this new revival series of made-for-TV movies, executive producer and co-writer Catherine Humphreys and writer Angelica Cherry. And they're both with us live from the Los Angeles area this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Happy you're with us this Friday afternoon for the program about TV's current and future. Simon Applebaum with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A., Nueva York, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, don't be shy. Make that phone call, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. I'm going to break press a little bit. I'm going to invite you, when we have our next show Monday, bring a friend, bring friends, because I think we have a very special 90-minute episode coming your way Monday afternoon. Because we're going to showcase not one, but two ventures that could very well be the standard bearers for how the interactive TV universe is going to develop next year and in the years ahead. Our first guest co-founded and is the head of a venture that just started a few weeks ago called Fireside. Check this out. What if you could have some time live with Jay Leno when he goes to an antique car dealer, looks over new antique cars, you know how big a fan he is from his CNBC series, Jay Leno's Garage, and you can join him and ask him questions on the journey and maybe even order the car or the car accessories or maybe antique memorabilia. Or what if you could join Deepak Chopra for a live meditation exercise? And you can. Well, people who have smartphones and have tablets or other devices can now do that with other celebrities too and personalities through this service called Fireside. And it may not be long before this service becomes on a smart TV set or device near you. We'll talk with the chief executive, Fallon Fatemi. By the way, one of the other co-owners, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and Shark Tank lead shark, Mark Cuban. And that's just our first half hour. Also on the program, we will revisit a topic that we brought you more than a year ago. It's MedSign. It's one of the first examples of telehealth on the TV set, where you can actually have chats with your favorite doctor, and that doctor can use all sorts of things from x-rays to graphics, multimedia, to showcase where your health is at and where it might be going with your health. We introduced MedSign, as I said, over a year ago. It's still out there, and there's a lot more interest in telehealth on TV than you think. We'll have the chief executive officer, again, as we did last year, Thomas Conroy. Plus, the chief content officer of the Weather Channel, Nora Zimmert, will be along, too. Weather Channel is premiering some new primetime series. We'll also talk about the spinoff of the service, Pattern, about the world of climate change and environmental concerns. That's all coming up on next Monday's program, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Like I said, come along for the ride. Bring your friends, too. I think they'll be quite interested in what they have to hear. It's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Catherine, how long did it take for you and Angelica to put the script together? And along the way, did you have a chance to talk to any of Michael Landon's siblings about how to make the script work? I understand that Cindy Landon is one of the executive producers.
Yeah, that's very true. And we got notes from her and from the estate, I think, on our first draft. So, you know, we were very mindful of and had some good communication about, you know, what was important to them. And we never spoke directly, at least I never spoke directly to anyone from her estate. But oddly, before this project, I was working with Melissa Gilbert on, I was a huge Little House on the Prairie fan, and we were working on a project that sort of came out of the Little House on the Prairie universe. So it was really interesting getting to know Melissa and hearing all her stories about Michael. And, you know, they had such a close relationship and she had such respect for him. And that was always in my head too. You know, I was nervous to tell her I was involved in the project because – you know, I think it's taken on something that's near and dear to everyone's heart, and she certainly has such respect for Michael. And I think we came together about a year ago, and initially we had to work pretty quickly. They needed to shoot the script, I think about 4 or 5 months after I came aboard the project. So we worked really quickly and moved really quickly, and then it was kind of amazing how the pieces just fell into place. They hired an amazing director. We got to work with her, collaborate with her, collaborate with Jill. You know, even in the middle of the pandemic when we couldn't go up to Canada where they shot this, we still were able to really collaborate with everyone involved, which is not always the case and really special.
We should point out the director is Stacey K. Black, which is directing from the script that you and Angelica put together. Angelica, given this is your first shot in television, what did you learn as you were writing the script about how to do TV or how not to do it too?
Right, a little bit of both. One of the things that I learned was quickly make a choice. And, you know, that's one of the gifts, because in theater you do have a lot of rumination and you have a lot of space. And as Catherine was saying, you know, we had a very tight shooting schedule and we were working very quickly. And it was an amazing opportunity to just trust your instincts. And especially, you know, because of the process of outlining, of talking through the beats together, and because we have each other to rely on, we know that the structure that we built is tight and that we know our end goal and all the things are laid out for us. And so it was just about following the blueprint and trusting your instincts and giving voice to the people who you've been talking about for the several months before you put them on the page.
Both of you talk about Jill Scott, wonderful actress, wonderful singer. Like I said, she's now featured in the Nationwide Insurance commercials. She's been in for quite a while. She's absolutely terrific in those one-minute spot or 30-second spots. What was it like for her to assume the Michael Landon's role as an angel, you know, coming down to earth to serve people?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, she is a literal angel in real life. It's not even a character. She just has so much grace and warmth and relatability, and she just is so inviting. And I think that's one of the things that everyone loves about Michael Landon, is that he felt super empathetic and caring, and he just knew how to meet people where they were. He was never judgmental. He always offered a different perspective, and I think that's just who she embodies as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, she was so gracious about the script and the whole process, and, you know, we didn't get to be up there for shooting, but it sounded like it was just a really wonderful process for everyone involved, and yeah, I mean, she just, there could not have been anyone better to bring this character to life.
Mm-hmm. By the way, when you bring the angelic aspect of the series or of the character to Jill, how, as you were either watching rushes or you were able to, like, see whatever you could or deal with whatever you could, how did you find her taking the character? How did you find her, you know, bringing your words to life? This is for both of you.
I think there was just, like, a real warmth to it, you know. She definitely captured that thing, as Angelica said, that Michael Landon had as well, where it's sort of like, you know, no nonsense when it needed to be. Like, you know, there are definitely scenes where it's sort of like, let's get down to business. Let's talk about what's really going on. She doesn't take anything from anyone. But there's also just this warmth and compassion and empathy in everything that she does. So it's just, you know, it's just impossible not to want to open up to her.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And adding to that, the gentleness. Because one of the things that we talked about when we were able to Zoom with her is when we were talking about the script, she just said that she was going to just be adding a few little touches, like picking the little piece of lint off someone's shirt or smiling a little bit longer and just kind of bringing that sort of care and compassion to the character. And she really, really, really brought forth this sort of a warm and loving spirit that was already infused in what we were intending for Angela. But she just took it to that next level of humanity in a beautiful way, that angelness, that angelicness, plus that human compassion.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, Angelica was saying earlier that one of the things she wanted to bring out in writing this first movie was how somebody deals with a tragic situation, whether, as you said, dealing with breast cancer, and bringing that to Cody's character and dealing with the loss of his mother. What about you, Catherine? What did you want to bring in terms of your life experience to the script?
Well, I brought some fun and some more serious, I think. We named a character in the script, Kaya, who's named after my daughter, who's about to turn 7. And, you know, this will be the first thing that I've written that she can really watch and enjoy. So, she just has the most upbeat attitude in the world. It sort of doesn't matter what you throw at her. She's just like, well, here's what I see about the good side. And so it was really fun to create a character based on her personality, and I'm excited to watch it with her. And then, one of the core themes is dealing with family estrangement and dealing with sort of the fact that the complexities of life, that there's not always one person that's in the wrong and one person that's in the right, and you can kind of choose to move on from those, or you can choose to stay stuck in your place. And, you know, it takes both parties to do that. And, you know, that comes from my life. I definitely have had some strife in that area. And so it was really nice and really healing to sort of, you know, paint the picture of characters dealing with it ultimately the way you wish it was dealt with, seeing them struggle, but seeing them come to a good place with it.
You're hearing two of the key people behind Lifetime's revival of Highway to Heaven, and the first of a series of made-for-TV movies, the first movie streaming tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. We've got executive producer and co-writer Catherine Humphreys, and we also have playwright and co-writer of this, Angelica Cherry. They're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We have a few more minutes with both of them, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll check out a TV series pilot that right now is playing at the American Black Film Festival down in Florida. It's one of several TV series pilots that's underway, and this pilot is called Last Bodega in Brooklyn. It's also been playing at the Austin Film Festival and also at film festivals internationally. You'll meet the creator, co-star, and director of this possible TV series. His name is Messiah Moonsemi. Love the name. I think you'll like this show. Last Bodega in Brooklyn, he'll be one of our guests on Friday. Also, we'll speak with the vice president, Bitmove, an organization that's got a lot of things to say about where TV is going next year and beyond. From smart TV sets and devices, how we use them, to interactive television, 5G, and a whole lot more. That's all coming up a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And the following Monday on our program, among our guests, we'll have someone who straddles the line between directing for movies and directing for television. His name is Andy Fickman. One of his movies, Return to Witch Mountain. His latest TV project, the Disney Channel movie, Christmas Again. He's being executive producer and director. Andy Fickman, a week from Monday, right here, one of our guests, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now that you've done this first Highway to Heaven movie, where do we stand in terms of how many more we can expect to see in the months ahead?
Well, I'm writing the second one right now. We are working on that one, and then, you know, we hope that we get to write many, many, many of these. We're really excited to see people tune in on Saturday, and the hope is to do many of them. But we'll always have to see how many people are going to tune in and watch.
What's the second one deal?
So tune in.
Can you give us a little bit of hint about what adventure our angel goes to in number two?
Do you want to take that, Angelica, or do you want me to? I'm not sure how much we're allowed to tell.
I
don't know.
We're both just sort of like caught, like, can we tell? Let's just say very diplomatically that this second story is going to be about overcoming a seemingly insurmountable physical obstacle, whereas this first movie was more emotional and spiritual and family-oriented, this will be much more individualistic and physical and really, really about the miraculous, both on a heavenly platform, like what can the boss open up and show us in these impossible situations. Also, how can we rely on each other, on our friends, on people in our community to help us go through and overcome something that is seemingly insurmountable and impossible?
Yeah, and hopefully
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yes, all of that, and then, you know, I think fans of this first one will get to see some beloved characters return and hopefully have some surprises along those lines as well.
Mm-hmm. By the way, with this first movie, because it deals with the world of education, are there things about education that you wanted to, in terms of points about how we deal with education, how school counselors or teachers deal with a child like Cody, played by Ben Dayan, or how they deal with their parents. So anything you wanted to bring out, you know, that parents can take away or teachers can take away from this movie in terms of how they deal with issues like this?
I think that's really interesting. I mean, I'm not sure we ever had a direct conversation about it, but I think, you know, we do say, like, Cody is this kid who has just been through so much, and we say he's been to counselors, people have been trying to help him, and he's locked away in his own world, he's angry, he's acting out, and I think a lot of times, especially as a parent, we view kids like that, and we're just trying to, like, how do we deal with the behavior, how do we get them to be better socialized, like, whatever that is, and, you know, Angela comes in, and she slows it all down, and she cuts right to the heart of it, which is, this is a kid who's grieving, and he feels lost and alone, and he doesn't trust anyone, and he doesn't know what to do, and he and his dad are just both locked in their own grief, you know, and that's such a common thing. People grieve in different ways. We did have a lot of conversations about this, about how people grieve in different ways, and then you're not able to be there for each other because you don't understand the other person's actions or where they're coming from. So I think, if anything, it's just encouraging communication, and don't just look at someone's behavior and see that. You know, what is that trauma that they're dealing with? What's the thing you need to go deeper with? And balancing that, I mean, schools have to balance that. You can't have kids acting out in harmful ways, but it also doesn't work just to sort of punish them. So I guess that would be my answer.
Yeah, Catherine,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, just adding to that, just one of the other things that we talked about is that some of the professionals in the world of education, one of our main characters is really, really passionate about really touching students' lives and reforming their futures. One of our leads is really invested and has been invested for over 20 years in his career of actually, like, you know, building world changers and building up the next generation. And we talked a little bit about how sometimes that can get lost in the process of, you know, just the politics of education and all the different policies and the management of bringing in, you know, different activities and managing parents and managing PTA and all these other things that kind of get in the way of really, really touching the lives of young students. And so hopefully we'll also bring attention to, you know, reforming the passion for building students up and investing in what their interests are and utilizing their strengths. And like Catherine said, really understanding what's going on, slowing down, getting to know each and every student in the classroom in an intimate way is something else that we've really, really been talking about for this movie.
Mm. Well, while you're both working on movie number two of Highway to Heaven, Catherine and Angela, before we leave you, anything else you're working on? What's next for you in terms of television beyond hopefully more of these Highway to Heaven movies?
Yeah, hopefully more, and then, well, definitely more, and hopefully a lot more, and we're actually also currently working on a project that we're hoping will have a home really, really soon, so it's been really fun to continue collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so exciting. So many fun
things. Is the project a made for TV movie or a weekly series?
Weekly series. So it's just in the beginning stages, and I closed my computer to do this interview, and then I'll open it back up. So we're right in the middle of it.
Highway to Heaven comes back tomorrow night, the first of a series of made-for-TV movies on Lifetime. It's 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your locals where Lifetime is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details online, go to www.mylifetime.com. It's www.mylifetime.com. Highway to Heaven movie number one with Jill Scott in the Michael Landon role. That's tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Lifetime Television. Catherine Humphreys and Delta Carey, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on getting this hopefully long-running made-for-TV movie revival started. And all the best of luck to both of you, and we'd love to have you back anytime. It's been a great pleasure.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Angelica, welcome to the TV world. Hope it's a great, long-lasting one.
I don't plan on going anywhere. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, both of you. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Catherine Humphreys and Angelica Cherry joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. More TWBT coming your way, but first some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. Guess what? Sherlock Holmes, one of the great characters of all of fiction, and much more from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Now it's in audiobook form, and you can get it right now with a trial run with Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment information and inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device. Whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. If you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook, a one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and wonderful health and wealth information that could make a difference in your life or someone you know. And if you're an Amazon Prime customer, better news. You get two books for the trial of one, and one of those books would come from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, great one-woman and one-man performances. So have a make in the day or this weekend the time you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Makes a great holiday gift with the season coming up, so better time like now to make it happen. Again, for all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, we're back to Los Angeles we go. We'll have one of the co-stars of Supergirl wrapping up its run this Tuesday night on the CW, Ozzie Tesfaye. She'll join us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together reaching over 65 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and Sisters United. Check out the sisters. They've got lots of good things coming your way. Music, talk, much more. Sisters United, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday afternoon, the 5th of November, 2021. Simon Abbaum with you live from New York. We are awaiting our next guest, the co-star of Supergirl on the CW, Ozzie Tesfaye. Supergirl wrapping up its six-season run this Tuesday night on the CW, 8 p.m. Pacific time, with not one, but 2-hour-long episodes. And while we wait for her, let's do our classic trivia question of the week. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row, and it could be you if you know the correct answer to this question. What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? Not starred, hosted. What was the last TV series Betty White, she won 3 Emmy nominations in consecutive years for the series. And if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win the unofficial Hocus Pocus cookbook, inspired by the popular 1990s movie starring Bette Midler, who, as we speak, is now producing and starring in the sequel that will be running next year on Disney+. So remember, in order to get the book, you got to be in to win. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. One more time, here's the classic trivia question of the moment. What was the last TV series Betty White hosted? The last TV series Betty White hosted. Again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we don't get a winner today, we will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWP. Remember, in order to win, play your hunch in. Do so today, and all the very best. In October of 2015, a new Superman tale started on CBS called Supergirl. And a year later, it moved to the CW, where it's been ever since. This Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, after 6 seasons on CBS and CW, Supergirl, executive produced by the wonder kind, the Aaron Spelling of our day, if you will, Greg Berlanti, will come to a conclusion with not one, but 2-hour-long episodes, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. My next guest is one of the co-stars of the series. He joined in season 4 as Jimmy Olsen's youngest sister, Kelly Olsen, and then became a regular co-star the past 2 seasons. The pleasure to welcome this program live from Los Angeles, Ozzie Tesfaye. Ozzie, welcome in.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. What's it been like for you and everybody in the cast to go through this final season and finally this Tuesday night see it come to an end?
You know, we stopped filming so long ago that I think it feels very surreal, and I think it's starting to feel real that now it's not going to be on television anymore. It's a double-edged sword because I think we did a good job with the finale and pulled a story that hopefully most of the characters feel like their arcs were well done. But then also we filmed during a pandemic. So we did this season, we filmed from last September to this August. So it was a long haul. I think everybody also physically was really excited to take a break and get some rest. So I think no, it hasn't hit anyone until now that it's airing.
How do you feel about your character? Because it's interesting that in all of the Superman series from the get-go with George Reeves back in the 50s, Jimmy Olsen was not as developed a side character as other characters around in terms of being more than just himself, having a younger sister or a younger or older brother or finding out about his parents, if you will, as opposed to Superman's parents or Lois Lane's parents or Perry White's, you know, family and so forth. What was it like to develop a character like Kelly Olsen, first as a recurring star and then the last two seasons as part of the cast?
I loved Kelly from the moment I read her. It's why I wanted to do it. You know, she's so empathetic and smart and compassionate and, for me, aspirational as a woman in character. And then seeing her relationship with her brother. And when I took the role, I knew very much, because I'd been in chemistry right with Kyler, what their dynamic was going to be and how important that representation was going to be on the show. So for me, it was a dream. You know, I felt very purposed in playing her, and I felt her character was important to see and be seen on television. So for me, it was an honor to play her. I had the luxury of having a very good idea of where she was going to go and what was going to happen with her.
How did she evolve over the course of the three seasons?
I think that she was the support system for a lot of people on the show, starting with her brother and then with Alex. And she stepped into her own power, and not just the obvious, which is becoming Guardian and the superhero, but her journey within herself of finding her voice and finding her place and her purpose on her own was an amazing thing to go through with her. And I kind of feel like I paralleled that in my real life at the same time. So it was really empowering for me even.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned we just had in our last half hour Angelica Cherry, who is going to make her debut as a TV writer with the Highway to Heaven revival that Lifetime is premiering tomorrow night. You just created in this last season a very interesting milestone, both personally and professionally. I mentioned Greg Berlanti, who is like one of the maybe the Uber. He's in the Uber class of television producers who's got like Aaron Spell, like Shonda Rhimes now, or Ryan Murphy, like so many shows in so many places.
Yeah.
And apparently you became the first star or co-star of a Greg Berlanti superhero series, whether on the CW or other places, that actually wrote this year a script that was approved and made into an episode called Blind Spots. First of all, how did you get the idea of trying your hand at TV writing?
I love storytelling, and there were stories that I hadn't seen before that I wanted to, and I during the pandemic realized that I had to learn how to write structurally and the different formats of genres. So I went ahead and got a writing coach pretty much and learned the whole time the structure of it and wrote a super spec script, the storyline that was more focused on war vets and PTSD. We kind of touched on it when Sean Astin came and guest starred, but kind of really going down that road and seeing how we treat our veterans once they return and honestly, a lack of support with mental health for them. And they really liked it. Our showrunners really liked it and sent it on to Berlanti and to Warner Brothers, and then I was told I was going to get to write an episode, and it wasn't decided then that it was going to be the episode that I become a superhero, because then we found out it was our last season, and so they rebroke the season, but still let me write an episode, and I took 3 or 4 episodes off of filming as Kelly to join the writer's room for a month, and I was there every single day breaking the story arc and then my episode. And I guess the good thing is I didn't know until I was about 60% through writing my episode over the Christmas break that I was the first actor for any Berlanti show to write, and I think the second for the network ever. So it's good I didn't know that up front, because I might have had a panic. I was already knee deep in it. And then, there's the pressure really is just you don't want to be the last. So you want to do a great job so that the doors open for other people. But I was really supported in it the whole way through. So it became a dream come true that I didn't know even I necessarily wanted. And now it's something I'm really passionate about, which is writing.
Isa Defy is our guest this half hour on the Marvel Televised. She's one of the co-stars of Supergirl, the long-running series that goes into its final 2 episodes this Tuesday night on the CW, on your local CW station, including WPX-TV here in New York. And she joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on the Marvel Televised. Happy to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Prelude to a great weekend, we hope, wherever you are. Simon Adams, I'm with you live from the Big Apple, where it's 51 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Ozzy, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Ozzy, how did being an actress impact you being a writer? Because you played this character of Kelly Olsen, who happens to be a veteran as well, and that your script dealt with what veterans are dealing with, how did the actress side of you impact the budding writer side of you?
I think specifically with dialogue and because the episode was so heavily focused on my character, being able to write things that felt really natural, the Blind Spots, which is the name of the episode, a lot of the things that my character said and a lot of her very emotional speeches were very much things that I feel. So it was very real. Everything I was saying got very blurry between Kelly and me because they were all very personal and authentic. And I would voice note record things and just talk it out and then transcribe them. So it felt very real when it came to performing it. And that felt really exciting. And then I think writing and this experience particularly, because our showrunners let me approve set design and props and costumes and casting, and so I just have a bigger appreciation for all that goes into, because as an actor, you show up and you do your job and leave. But all of the prep and the location scouting, I did all of that with this episode. So I have a newfound appreciation of all that goes into making the work and a more 360 vision of like what it takes to tell a story on television. So I think the acting allowed me to write dialogue maybe a little bit easier, and I've been reading scripts for so long that there wasn't a bit of an advantage in that. And then it's writing definitely, I think, made me a better actor in terms of understanding all of the logistics that go into things before we show up on set.
Mm-hmm. What was it like to be in the writer's room? For the first time, maybe, I know it was the first time in your career you've done that, but what was the first time, what was it like to be in the writer's room, and how did the writers embrace you, like, as a first-timer?
It was great. I'm really close with our writers. I'm very close with our writers, and they're friends of mine. So for me, it felt very natural, and I have a very different perspective. And so I felt like it was definitely heard, and mainly as a Black woman coming into the writer's room and having my own experience and sharing that and also having played Kelly for years at that point, I really felt heard and listened to, and I loved it. I loved the 10 to 5, didn't think I would, with the lunch break, and I loved writing and creating and breaking story. I loved the collaboration and riffing off of one another. It was so different than being on set, and I kept saying I almost preferred it. I going back to set after the episode and just acting was harder for me, actually. Like I enjoyed so much the creating of it and being a part of it from the beginning that it was an experience that I will never forget. And I hope be in another writer's room at some point again because I really enjoyed that process.
Once this script, your script, went before the cameras, who directed the episode and what kind of collaboration did the two of you have?
Yeah, so it was directed by David Ramsey, who is with John Diggle on Arrow. And he was also a guest star in the episode. So we had many dinners. We did weekly dinners every Saturday or Sunday for about a month before we shot and just talked. You know, the first part of it was me just learning about him and his character that he had played for a very long time. Arrow was, you know, a long-running show. And then doing new drafts with that as he kind of shared more information, trying to honor John Diggle and make sure it was accurate to a character he played for a long time, and then also trying to bring his experience personally in it as much as possible. And then just the rest of it was just getting trust because it was such a vulnerable and personal episode, and I was so close to it. Having trust in your director was something that was so important. And so we are really good friends, and we became really close to this experience. And most of the scenes were him and I, and I co-wrote it, and he directed it, and so it weirdly felt very intimate. It almost felt like, even though it was this huge superhero show, it felt like a student film almost because it was just the two of us, and he would run behind the monitor and look at it, and then he wouldn't like a line, and we'd talk it out and fix it, and we just did everything in this little room, and then we would act the scene together, and it was a really beautiful experience because it felt small in a good way.
Do you think it made a difference that your episode was directed by someone who, like yourself, was a co-star, as opposed to somebody who just does directing and nothing else, or writing and nothing else, or had never been on the show before this?
That's a good question. I hadn't really considered that before, but I think it definitely helps in that, you know, Ramsey is curious because he's in a new field in directing and he's really good at it, and he is so passionate about it. And I think maybe sometimes if someone's been doing something and anything for a long time, maybe the passion is a little less, or they're can be a little jaded, but he had so much excitement and passion in this new career of his. So we related a lot because I felt that as a writer. And so we dissected everything and potentially, you know, me overthinking everything and me caring about every detail of it was maybe a more seasoned director could have been annoying, but because he was also in the same boat where he cared about every detail because, you know, he's a director now and it's a new career path for him, I think our energies were very aligned because of that.
And 6 seasons on CBS and the CW, Supergirl brings its run to an end this Tuesday night on your local CW station at 8 p.m. East Pacific time with the first of 2 hour-long episodes playing back-to-back. We're speaking one of the co-stars of the series, Ivy Tesfaye. She plays Carrie Olsen, the younger sister and veteran of Jimmy Olsen on the series. And if you have a question or comment for her in our many minutes with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, big 90-minute episode coming your way on Monday with 2 segments that may pretend where interactive TV is going. We'll have Falon Fatimi. She is the co-founder with Mark Cuban and chief executive of the new interactive service Fireside that could be coming very soon to a smart TV set or device near you. Also, we'll be checking in again with MedSign, the unusual telehealth via the TV service we first showed you on this program over a year ago. Chief executive officer of that service, Thomas Conroy, will be with us. Plus, the chief content officer of the Weather Channel, which is launching some new primetime series in the next week or so, Nora Zimmett's with us. Among those series is a show premiering next weekend called Frozen Gold, where some very interesting U.S. citizens take a trip to find gold in Greenland. That's all coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. So come on with us and bring your friends. I think they'll be very interested in what they and you will hear. You were on Jane the Virgin for the first 2 seasons, and Jane Rodriguez, yeah, who's a star, has now become a top executive producer, creating her own work, like Diary of a Future President for Disney+. With this situation with Blind Spots, do you see yourself expanding your career to now be a writer or director?
Yeah, I am. I'm developing and writing a couple things right now. with one of them with a writer from Jane the Virgin, funny enough. But it is my sole kind of focus and intention is to write and develop, and that's what I'm focusing on. I am also filming a show for ABC right now, but the writing for me is what I'm most passionate about. And I had dinner with my showrunner yesterday from Supergirl, and I told her she created a monster because now it's all I want to do, write and develop. So it's for sure my passion, and there's stories that I want to see that I haven't, and so I'm going to write them.
And since you mentioned it, what's the series you're doing for ABC, and what's the character you play?
It's called A Million Little Things, and I play a woman named Cassandra Thomas, who comes in and shakes things up a little bit. I think the fans will see over the next couple of weeks. Things get a little complicated, and I loved it. I love the character because it evokes conversations about gray area in life, and not everything is so black and white. And it brought conversations on set of morality and how things can get. I'm trying not to spoil it, but things can get relationships between men and women. And what that looks like. And anytime I think television can evoke feelings and broader conversations with the audience, that feels exciting to me. And so I think I'm having a great time. And the acting is incredible on the show, and the writing is incredible. And it could not be more opposite to Supergirl in that it's just two people talking. You know, there's no explosions. There's no one flying over your head. There's no cape. It is just very much enacting and heartfelt leading show. So I feel lucky to go from a superhero show, which is really fun to do, to one that has so much heart in it. Yeah.
Ozzy, final question. When all is said and done, what are you and the entire cast and the crew of Supergirl most proud of, what you've accomplished in the six seasons of the show's existence?
I think it's the female empowerment, you know. Supergirl was the first of its kind in this modern time to have a female leading. You know, now there's Batwoman, but at the time it was a male dominated field of superheroes as leads of shows, and we have a lot of women on our shows that are superheroes and are powerful and strong. And Supergirl represents hope and strength. And the young girls that we get to meet at Comic-Cons and while filming, it never gets old how much that means to them to see a female in a position of power and strength and to be able to be a factor of change in society. I think the female empowerment of the show will be its legacy, and it was a trailblazer in that. And so I feel really lucky to have been a part of that, and then to become a female superhero on a show like that as well.
And you can see the final two episodes of Supergirl back-to-back this Tuesday night starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time on the CW. Check your locals for the CW station in your area. For more details about the program online, it's CWTV.com. It's CWTV.com. And if you miss the shows, you can catch them also on the CW app and hopefully also on CW Seed, which is their service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. The two final episodes of Supergirl after a great six-season run, Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on the CW. Ozzy Tafai, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations to you and everybody involved, both in front and behind the camera, for a wonderful six-season run with Supergirl. Mm-hmm. And hopefully much more great stuff coming your way with A Million Little Things on ABC and whatever you decide to
thank
do
you.
Further on your TV career. It's been a delight having you with us, and all the very best to you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too, Ozzy. All the greatest. Enjoy the weekend. Ozzy Tafai joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Now time for a show to know, a show that we think you ought to know about, and you may not know about because it's not well promoted, publicized, or marketed, or it falls on the radar screen of TV critics and journalists. And our show to know happens tomorrow night in syndication on more than 100 stations, including CW stations. It's the annual special American Valor, a salute to our heroes. Rob Riegel hosts it. It is the story of some of the men and women who served this country in World War II and other battles across the world, and even in our home country. And it's an annual presentation of the American Veterans Center. And like I said, it's going to be on more than 100 stations across the country, only not just on the CW. In some markets, it'll be on an ABC station. It'll be on NBC or CBS or Fox. So you have to check your local listings for the station in your area and when they play it. Some states will run tomorrow afternoon, some tomorrow night in prime time, others on Sunday or later on this coming week in honor of Veterans Day. Once again, the show is American Valor, a salute to our heroes. I saw the trailer. I promise you, if you see it, you're going to be very, very moved by the subjects that are showcased. And, of course, on this Veterans Day, we thank everybody in the armed forces for their service as veterans and for their continuing service in honor of our nation and our world. Again, the program is American Valor, a salute to our heroes, hosted by Rob Riggle. It premieres tomorrow on over 100 stations, including ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and the CW station, depending on your market. Check your local listings for where you can find the show and in what time period. And for more details about the program online, go to AmericanVeteransCenter.org, AmericanVeteransCenter.org. And if you have an idea for a show to know, let me know, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. If we use suggestion on the air, you get the credit. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for being here this hour and all of you for tuning in. Remember, we got a big 90 minutes for you on Monday with Balan Fatimi. She's the co-founder with Mark Cuban and chief executive of the very exciting interactive service Fireside that may be coming soon to a TV, smart TV set of device near you. From the Weather Channel, Keith Content Officer Nora Zimmet, and from MedSign, the unique telehealth on television venture, Chief Executive Officer Thomas Conroy. I really hope you enjoy the show on Monday. Be there for it. Get involved with our phone call or chat room and bring your friends in. I think they'll be very interested in what we're going to be showcasing because in the case of Fireside and MedSign, what you could be hearing could be two big futures in this growing and emerging interactive TV world. And coming up next Friday on the Marvel Televised from the American Black Film Festival pilot going on right now in Miami, creator, co-star, and director of Last Bodega in Brooklyn, Masaya Mounsami. Plus, from BitMovin, VP of Solutions, Igor Draper. It's all coming up next Friday here on our program. If you want to catch up an episode you missed, if you came in late, give us a take a listen to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And over the weekend, check out any or all of our recent episodes at our various podcast sites, the iRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, SpeakerPodcastTune.com, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Or our website, tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. What do you think about our program today? And what's your thoughts where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and on Twitter. At Facebook, it's Simon Applebaum. LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. And on Twitter, at UBC Simon TWBT. We always respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. Why? Because now more than ever, what you say matters. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is head of content. Website maintenance provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to PodSite.io. Our web coordinator is guitarist Bacus. Tomorrow we televise is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For all the details and a trial for a free audiobook or two, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great weekend ahead. Remember, Saturday night, because daylight saving time ends and Eastern Standard Time begins, or Standard Time begins, wherever you are on Sunday morning, Saturday night, turn the clocks back an hour to get that extra hour of sleep. Have a fantastic weekend to transit from daylight saving to Standard Time. We'll be back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, the iRadio Podcast Network, and over other podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And if you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor, go over your medical history and where you're at, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.